thrilled to have Adam Jeske to come speak with us. He is a columnist at Relevant, he and his wife. He has an awesome treehouse where little girls can stand and dump salsa on little boys. We by the way, got all the garlic out of Daniel's hair, so we're chill. So why don't we welcome Malcolm.
The title for my talk this morning is A Theology of Fun, but I felt a little bit awkward putting that on the sign because that claims a certain finality or authority, which I don't really have this morning. So maybe toward a theology of fun might be good, as I feel like I'm at the starting point of this. And I haven't been able to find a whole lot of other writing and thinking on the subject. But truth be told, I actually had a different title in mind, the F word. Because we often don't really talk about fun in a very positive light in the church and as Christians. So that got vetoed. I think it fell off the table somewhere around Barb Moore, which was probably a good thing. But it's understandable how we have a tenuous relationship or an uncomfortable, perspective on fun, given all the hard calls in Scripture to us as believers. Jesus said, "Any of you who does not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me," Jesus says in Luke. In John, he says, "If they persecuted me," did they persecute him? "They will persecute you." And Paul wrote to Timothy, "All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake." Fun. And a bit later to the church in Corinth, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." What in the world have we signed up for? We need to put our heads down. We need to suck it up. We need to prepare for imminent martyrdom. We need to put on sackcloth. We need to sit down in ashes. We need to grit our teeth, furrow our brows, and hunker down as disciples. Who is with me?
Amen.
Now, I know you really are, and I really am too, in a way. We need these hard calls. They're important to us. And they're very, very much in stark contrast against the culture in which we live. The world will hate us. The first step to new life is our own death. And our sanctification, our daily renewal, our transformation to be more like Jesus is like a thousand little deaths. My years overseas taught me about the hard calling of discipleship. In 2008, I went with some friends to an Easter conference in Durban, South Africa. There was serious fasting going into it. There was a lot of serious intercession going on during it. I think it went all night. I wouldn't know because, in all honesty, I went to sleep. I took about 15 people from my church out in the countryside to this conference in the city. And we were crammed into our pickup truck, wrapped in blankets to keep out the early morning cold. We were sleeping on concrete floors with thin foam mattresses on top. The foam mattresses had fleas in them. There were no stores to go buy food or other necessities. During the course of the conference, I'm thinking about Urbana and downtown St. Louis, and oh, there's no good supermarkets nearby. There was nothing. It was like up on this, like, this ridge outside of the city, a church on top, kind of tin walls, pretty large church, but just tin, really bare, sparse, and there's nothing. There's just a dirt road that winds back on that ridge to the next ridge to the nearest neighborhood, quite a ways. So there's just one big meal for everybody. If you're gluten intolerant, tough. There was, if you didn't like what they cooked, if you were a vegetarian, there was just no choice. There's no option. It felt as if we were part of some guerrilla force, that we were on a mission. Not every moment in the Christian life is a big, juicy one. I get it. I think that the North American church often misses these important hard calls in Scripture. But on the other hand, there's often unintended consequences. In the history of the church, we have this concept that if our sanctification comes through pain, then we ought to seek out and even self-inflict pain, this self-flagellation, right? There's competition. I suffered more than you, which I know that I sometimes get wrapped up in when I tell a story about a church conference and fleas. There's burnout and there's grumpy Christians. I think you can all kind of relate to that. Oh, I'm a Christian. Would you like to have a personal relationship with Jesus? He can be your Lord and Savior. Rah, 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 rah. It's true. All that's true, but it's not very attractive. And I don't think it's the whole story. It's so, the hard calls of Scripture are so heavy that it makes you just want to say, fun! I want to have some fun. Well, I think I have some good news for you, some real good news, some gospel, not just propositional truth, but actual good news. I think God wants us to have fun. Now, let me say what fun isn't. It's not at the expense of others. It's not lewd or licentious, which is often what our culture says is fun. It's not taking pleasure in others' pain. It's not forgetting these hard calls, holding those in tension. It's not downplaying the massive and eternal work that we're involved in. And it's not escaping from the reality that we live in. Escapism is sometimes labeled fun in our culture too, but I think that fun is entering more fully into reality. Do we find any passages in the Bible that might make us think that any of what I've just said is true? that God might be fun or might want us to have fun? And, you know, you're starting, you know, toward a theology of fun. Let's start at the beginning, in creation. I think God might have had fun, maybe even in some almighty way, giggled when he created the giraffe, the papaya tree, the lantern fish. These are silly things. They look crazy. If you look thoroughly enough at reality, you find that Dr. Seuss doesn't have anything on the actual created order. We see in wisdom literature, in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to laugh. Yes, there's a time to cry too, but there's something positive and joyful there as well. We have commands to celebrate in the Old Testament. And I was talking to a friend over dinner last night, and she pointed out, not all fun is celebration. And I said, right. However, celebrations are usually fun. So it goes at least that way. So there's at least some injunction, some scriptural command. You must have fun. You have to celebrate. In Deuteronomy 16, we read, be joyful at your festival. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, the widows who live in your towns, everybody. For 7 days, celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. God takes celebration seriously. And so in some way, God takes fun seriously. Therefore, we must take fun seriously. God loves music. He inspired David, Psalm 150. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, with harp and lyre, timbrel, dancing, strings, pipe, the clash of cymbals, resounding cymbals, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now there's times when our praise is not fun, when it's, Lord, I know that this is what I must do. But sometimes, I think it should be fun. That's the culmination of the Psalms. A life of that sort of praise, oriented in that direction, based in that, springing from that, ought to be a fun life, I think. If you want to argue otherwise, I think I might say that you're being more biblical than the Bible. Elsewhere, David wrote, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Would you say that you, your church, your workplace, are characterized by joy? we have our good moments here, but I wonder if we could have more good moments. Paul wrote in Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." And in that 2 Corinthians passage that I shared earlier, "We who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh." So if Christ lives in us and is to be manifest in our lives, what is this Jesus like? We could say a lot about this. It's a fascinating question, but let's focus in today on fun. First of all, Jesus celebrated too, and maybe he celebrated too much. Ah, that glutton, that drunkard Jesus. I think it'd be pretty great if Jesus was at our next picnic. It'd be like, fire up the grill, tap the keg, Jesus is here, let's crank it up! I mean, you know Jesus from your walk. Would you expect him to not be having fun and the people around him to not be having fun at a banquet? Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I struggle to live out of that. I own a lot of the tasks here at work. And as I was reflecting on this, I thought of my friend James Miriago, who's a Kenyan student that I taught in South Africa at the seminary. And he invited us to visit his family and his home in Kenya as we were moving back to the U.S. from South Africa at the end of 2009, just before Urbana. His home has dirt floors. He made great sacrifices and great investments to get to South Africa for his education. He often didn't know how he was going to make it through a week financially. He had all kinds of reasons, much more significant than mine, to be holding up some burdens. But the brother had on Jesus' yoke, and despite the uncertainty about his future, his financial issues, problems at home, a whole bunch of, you know, the community in Kenya that sent him out expected a whole lot from him as he came back in terms of his training and his financial providence for the community, and he didn't know if it would be there. He didn't have strong job prospects. But despite all that, James always had the most angelic smile on his face. He had a really deep, dark skin for a Kenyan, and really beautiful, straight, gleaming white teeth for a Kenyan. And so he had this Cheshire Cat grin that just stretched across and went on for miles. And it never went away. I mean, we would bump into him. He had to walk across town on a really, I mean, we were in South Africa, so you think Africa, you think hot, but it was a really cold evening. It was rainy. It was miserable. He had to walk a few miles from somewhere where he thought he had a ride, and it fell through. Walk back. We see him on the sidewalk like, "You just came from where? What?" And he's, "Yeah, it's great. God is good." I don't take on Jesus' yoke in the same way that James does. It's a sharp contrast, too, to the perception of Christians in our culture. "Oh, those Christians, rah, rah, rah. Why are Christians so mean, annoying, rah, rah, rah." And maybe that's justified criticism. We also know that there's rejoicing in heaven when someone repents. So if there's parties in heaven, maybe I'm making a jump there. Rejoicing doesn't necessarily equal a party, but bear with me. If there's rejoicing, maybe it's like a party. It sounds like angels are dancing and celebrating. Maybe there's some music or some shouting. It sounds fun. Maybe there's fun in heaven. I don't know why we're so suspicious about fun in the church. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Whatever's true or noble or right or pure or lovely or admirable, excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." I think fun is pure and lovely and excellent, or at least it can be. And I mentioned banquets earlier. With the Urbana folks, we've talked a lot about the banquet in Luke 14, and with 2100, we've talked about the great wedding feast of the Lamb in Revelation. Those sound like fun events. I think that those should model for us some of what our life with one another should look like. And don't forget the Sabbath. If we're supposed to rest, what's going to be more refreshing? Just not doing anything, the absence of work, or actually doing something fun? God is good enough at carrying out his plans that we can goof off a little bit. Think of the effect of this perspective. How much healthier would you be? I ask myself the question. I think, wow, if I really lived this out, I would be much happier and healthier. I think that we would get more done. We would be more effective in our work if we were able to have more fun. How much more attractive would we be to the people around us as the church? Rah, 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 rah. Instead of that face, people would see us and say, I want to be with those people. Those are fun people. They're good people. They're serving and doing fun stuff in the world. They take care of one another. They're loving each other. Urbana's coming soon, of course, and like I said, I've spent some time with Urbana folks. I was at the speaker's retreat down in St. Louis a couple weeks back, and they're preparing to speak about these passages in Luke, and it was a really powerful week for me personally. But I bring it up here because the Urbana speakers brought home that, on the one hand, we in the North American church don't get very far to the hard calls. Like our culture says you shouldn't have to do something hard. But also that we don't really get joy. We don't really get fun on the other end of the spectrum. It's like we operate here in the middle. And the Urbana speakers, in an amazing, you know, people coming from across the country, I don't know, maybe 8 speakers were there, across the country, different passages, but finding some similar themes coming up and hearing from one another and saying, wow, that really connects to what I'm going to share tomorrow in my talk. That they're going to press very hard on us at Urbana on the one end about the hard calls. Give your whole life for God's global mission. But they're also going to press very hard on the other end that there's joy in this. It's going to be an awesome, awesome conference. And we need both of those. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Sisters and brothers, let us have fun.